Y'all ready today? I couldn't tell during worship. Will y'all tune in? You know, you can sing out loud. If you can carry a tune, by all means. You can clap. We're not one of those churches that will keep you from clapping. If you can clap on beat, we clap on the snare. So what, if you hear the snare hitting, not the bass drum. Bass drum, you'll be off. The snare. And I seen Roman was clapping on beat. He told me, you did a good job, Papa. I said, all right. Glad to get your approval. People, I'm just saying, when you're going through something, worship is the answer. It's really the answer. I can't tell you how many times I've been struggling with stuff or what have you, just secretly just walking in love, and that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. And then you get to the place to where you worship, and it's like, okay, what was that all about again? You get into God's presence. Okay, why was I upset? Why was I angry? Then, of course, the enemy will love to remind you. But when you worship, give it all to him. And if you get up and run, just run to the left and go back. And if the music is hitting you, people might think we're crazy. Who cares? You haven't died to self yet. It's going to be a struggle for you. I can get up there and I can worship. We can clap our hands. We can dance. We can shout. We can praise. When there's, I don't need a part in the song to shout. I'll shout. I'll praise. I'll clap. I'll dance. And if he goes to the left, we'll go to the left. People, you're freely to express who you are in Christ here. If anywhere else, here, you are freely free to express who you are in Jesus. I don't want anyone to be ashamed of who they are. Where there is the spirit of heaviness, put on a garment of what? Praise. That works every time. Every single day, you're dealing with some heavy stuff, praise. Throw some music on. You don't even have to throw music on. It can just be coming from your heart and just singing unto the Lord. But throw some music on. It helps. Put on a garment of praise. Wherever you're at, on your job, put on a garment of praise. In your car, put on a garment of praise. Some people may think you're weird. When you're singing along with the radio, they're thinking you're talking to yourself. You're just praising. Sometimes I'll roll down my window and blast the music. I want everyone here who I'm praising. If you get me, you see me getting outside the car, out of my truck, and start dancing, don't worry about me. I'm just praising. I make sure I do that by myself because my wife would be like, hiding, laying the seat back or something. America's most wanted is really America's most needed. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our daily life. That's who America needs. They need a movement of God in their life. They need a revival. We need a revival in this nation to be awakened to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. In John 13, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I deal with this. I've heard a lot of preachers preach, but they only deal with it with one side. I deal with it both, on both sides. Like, I deal with what we all understand, that if something comes our way, some people come our way, the enemy comes our way, we got to respond in love. But I deal with both sides. And people may say, is behavior modification? No, it's just called walking in love. Love is an action word. You love your neighbor. How many of you here never, ever gotten a flat tire in your life, in your, on your car? A nail in it? You never? You are blessed. That is awesome. That's rare. I thought every, there would be no hands going up. There's one. I'll say, okay, with the exception. I'm going to still roll with it, okay? So act, just pretend. For this sake. But that's awesome. Usually you'll get a nail, or you'll get a screw or something, and you'll get, the tire will be low, and then you can catch it early, what have you, get a plug in or what have you. But we know that when we buy a vehicle, there's going to be problems. Either if you get a new vehicle and it gets recalled on a part or what have you, or you buy a used vehicle and something wears down, fuel pump goes out, transmission, what have you. How many of you never had a problem on your car? Everybody looking at Belinda now. That's not... You never had, so we've all had problems. So think about this. When it says, in this world, you will have tribulation. When you buy a car, you're going to have problems. But does that ever stop you from buying another vehicle? It doesn't stop you. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have problems. But it doesn't ever stop you from actually going out and doing what God has called you to do. When you buy a vehicle, you know that you're going to get a flat tire. And some people are already prepared. Why Jesus says, not to fear, for I've overcome this world. You don't ever have to fear that you're going to get a flat tire or not, because of the reality of it is, you know how to change one. You know how to call roadside assistance. You're prepared for those things. You're prepared for the, when you prepare for it beforehand, like Jesus has prepared for us, you don't have to worry about it. What I teach, what I'm saying is that even though you're going to have a problem with your car, you may get a flat tire, we're not called to flatten each other's tires. Well, they got a car and they're going to get a flat tire, so let me just slash some tires. No. Let me help you with your flat. Let me get that fixed flat. That stuff don't work. You realize how much green goo I got on my hand? That stuff don't work. But we're not called to flatten each other's tires. You're not called to bring that trouble. He says, this is how they'll know that you are my disciples, your love for one another. It's the love that you have for each other. My brothers, we have a different type of love. And if you grew up with brothers and sisters and siblings and stuff, I'm telling you, there's furniture moving fights that you have. Because you don't want to break that expensive coffee table. So you got to move it out the way. But we're called to love one another. The night before Jesus died for the world, he issues a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. A command for all of his disciples to follow. You know, his word also says, do not owe anyone, but to love one another. For he who loves others fulfills the law. The world will know that you are his disciples by loving one another. When you are walking in love, it takes away all the negative things that you may want to do to your neighbor. And some of you may have had some thoughts about your neighbor. I'm going to go leave a flaming bag of... Boy, we had some jacked up stuff growing up. Go ding-dong ditch. That's fun. If you can run, that's fun. If you're the slowest one, God bless you. Those are summer games. You know? I said, you stop playing the blame game. You start taking responsibility for your actions rather than projecting your insecurities on other people. You will no longer need to stalk or monitor and watch over and stuff. I said, that's not love. You do that with your children when they're younger and stuff, and making sure that you're guiding them and leading them to the right relationships and things of that nature. But once they get older, that wouldn't be love. That's just control. And control is not love. We yield ourselves. We have that opportunity to yield ourselves to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit every single day. You know, Saul set a watch over David's home in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 11. Watched over him. Why? Wanted to take him out. See, that's not love. And people will think that's love. That's not love. That's not the love that Jesus is talking about. How he demonstrated it is how we're supposed to do it. He didn't hesitate to correct them. He didn't hesitate to rebuke them. He didn't hesitate to love them. He didn't hesitate to protect them. He loved on them. And I think today in this culture and even in the church, we have messed it up big time because we're looking at what the world is doing and we're seeing the results that they have. We should never take anything from the world in that sense that God has already established in his word and try to change it up. See, you're going to run your ministries certain ways. If you run your ministry like it's a ministry, you won't ever have any burnout. If you run your ministry like it's a business, you're going to have burnout. If you run your ministry like it's a CIA or a mafia, you're going to have burnouts. You're going to have flying monkeys. You're going to have all sorts of junk. You run your ministry like it's a ministry. You know, some of the greatest advice that I've really gotten was from Pastor West. Just when I stepped into this, he goes, don't think of it as a job. You're here to serve. You don't ever stop serving. That's some great advice. Never got burnt out. We were working six jobs. People thought we were Jamaican. But we've incorporated stuff within the body of Christ that shouldn't be. If you run it like a ministry, it's a ministry. Just like you would your own home. Your love. That love walk is a tightrope. Because our flesh does not want to do it at times. I want to argue this last point. You get done arguing and you think of something. Oh, I should have said this. Let me go back and restart it again. You know you've done that. I've done that before. I need to go back and I need to say this again. That's probably when you should let it go. Because that's what the Holy Spirit is for. He's your counselor. He's your helper. He's your advocate. I wouldn't say that if I were you. Holy Spirit will tell you when to be quiet, when to speak out. When is the right time to walk into that room? What scripture that you need to read to people? He'll tell you all these things every single day. If you allow, if you yield yourself to him, if you respect him enough to do that, and the Holy Spirit, what is it you want from me? Jesus, what is you want from me today? What is it you want me to say to anyone? Do you want me to say something? See, I don't go off of what other people tell me. When I post on social media, when I get up here and preach, and when I go sit around people, no one tells me what to say, when to say it, how to say it, and so forth. Why? Because I'm yielded to the Holy Spirit. And God wants you yielded to him every time because he wants the right results for you and for the people around you. He'll never disappoint. I guarantee you, he will never, ever disappoint. Competition and comparing with your neighbor is something that devalues what God is doing in your life. Keep your focus on him. Now, when you're playing games, sometimes it's okay to be competitive. I got my tail whooped the other night playing some cards at the Browns. You know, it took a whole day to get over that. But that's good because it brings out the good in you. It brings out the best in you. Some people can compete and be good with it. Then there's some people who compete and they're horrible at it. You know, they're like that glorified hall monitor. You got a pass, but they still want to cause trouble. They want to slash your tires. That's not what we're called to do. He says a plot, but God bless them. Love them anyway. Because if it is on your neighbor, then you will be making an idol out of them. If you're just sitting there trying to compare against them, the plots and schemes will stop, and prayers and speaking well of others will increase in your daily lives. When you start doing that, when you're yielding yourself to Jesus, all your enemies, you begin praying for. Yes, I do pray for people. It's a slow process, but I am praying for people. Some believers have people they haven't spoken to in 50 years, 35 years. Well, I haven't spoken to them. What was the problem? I don't even know. Most of the time, you don't even know. I guarantee you it was something petty. The love walk. That's so important. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus calls believers to their love, to love others at the level that he loves you. And he was willingly has given his life to you. We can do that for our spouses. We can do that for our children. Can you do that for your family members? Can you do that for friends? Oh, that's where I draw the line. Now, I'm not saying sitting there, take a bullet for them. But can you take the heat off of someone else because you love them? Can you sacrifice your reputation to love someone else? And if it's just one way, then you might want to reconsider. Because they need to be able to do it for you too. That needs to be reciprocated. The love walk. The Bible says, hatred stirs up strife. So when a believer hates or extremely dislikes you, they will cause all sorts of problems in your life on purpose. If that happens, continue to keep yourself in love and ignore all the comments that are made. God knows the truth and what truly matters. When believers love each other, the world and other believers will know that you are his disciples and that you are real followers of Jesus Christ. In John 3, 1 John 3 says this, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. You are either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. And no, it doesn't mean that your parent had sex with Satan. I actually had somebody come in and tell me that Satan had sex with Eve, and which is and produced Cain. I was like, yeah, you were wrong on that one, buddy. You missed that one. Why? Because the Bible clearly says in Genesis 4 that Cain knew Eve. And they had a child, they bore a child, Cain. But since Satan was the father of lies, and Cain killed Abel, well, then Satan was Cain's father, in a sense, had intercourse with Eve. That didn't happen. The Bible's clear. You don't want to get to the place to where we're twisting scriptures. I mean, we twist scriptures to believe what we want to believe. No. We conform to the word of God. We don't bring it into our own belief system and stuff and try to twist because this is what someone else said. You've got to dig in it for yourself. The enemy can come in and twist that communication like no other. It's that Leviathan type. They'll twist that communication. I was literally talking on the phone with an individual years ago. Great young man, love him, love his heart, love his family. I said, but I had him on speakerphone, and he was saying, well, you said this and this and this. I said, I didn't say that. And so he was trying to give me the answer to what I was saying, what he thought I was saying. I said, he got the first part wrong. He goes, well, you said this and this and this. And I said, no, I didn't say it. What did I say? And he repeated that over and over and over again. That went on several times. I said, that's not what I said. I said, here's what I said. And then I stated it, and he goes, oh, I said, now what does that mean? And then he told me what it meant. And I was like, okay, see, he goes, yeah, My wife says I do that sometimes. It's like, see, the enemy can come in and just twist that communication. You can tell people, hey, we're going to meet at, you know, go to this restaurant at 1:30. Somebody may hear, we're going to go to Geller's, and you said Thirsty's at 2:30. It can just twist that communication. You'll hear it differently. See, you don't want the enemy to come in and twist the communication, especially within your own marriage and relationships, because that's when relationships can just part ways. Why? Twist the communication. If you do a study on Leviathan, that's the spirit that really breaks up the marriages. All that miscommunication stuff, that's from the enemy. You know, Satan does not like marriage. He does not like two people being together. And we are the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And the thing about it is that he doesn't like us with God. So why wouldn't he want you guys to be together? Where two or more agree concerning anything here on earth, it is done by my Father in heaven. Man and a woman. Two right there. You're in agreement. And all he wants to do is just split that up. That's straight out of the pit of hell. They used to have marriage vows, what for richer, for poor, for sickness and in health. You could throw in for the good, the bad, the ugly. Till what? Part you? Now, do not get any ideas. Don't act on them. Act on the word. Believers, works should be good because Jesus is their Lord and Savior. Believers practice righteousness, doing what the Bible says to do rather than what people may think you should do. And you have to watch it. People will twist it, all right? I don't always agree with my brothers. I have five brothers. I don't always agree with them. But one thing is for sure. I know this 100%. They've never had any pushback. They never gave me any pushback when I got into this position. They respected it. And even if they didn't respect it, I would still do it. It's what I'm called to do. They can't stop me from doing it. They can't stop me from preaching. They can't do any of that stuff. I was like, I'm still going to do it. You got to get to the place to where, you know, this is what the Lord said to do. But this person over here saying, the Bible says, lean not into our own understanding, but acknowledge him in all our ways, and he shall direct our path. Even if it's that person over there that is saying this, and you may hold them to a high esteem, if what the Lord has spoken to you is clear and cut, doesn't matter. Go with that. At least you're swinging for the fence. Walk in his ways. Acknowledge him in everything you do. And I guarantee you, you're going to get all the pushback that you want. Why? Because in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to get a flat tire from here to there. But that doesn't mean that I can't roll still. I can't go on road trips anymore because I might get a flat tire. No. Let's punch it. Let's go. Well, your car may break down. Well, I'm going to roll with other people then. There's other ways around it. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. You can't fake that love walk. If you're faking it, then you're spiritually dead, basically. The love walk is something that's on another level. It drives your faith. And you realize that people can tell a lie long enough, and if you tell a lie long enough, eventually people will start to believe it. That's kind of the political stuff all the time. On the hour, every hour. I can't watch news anymore. I watch for about 3 minutes. Then it's the same thing over on the hour, every hour. I'll just pray. John 14 says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus talks about this later in this chapter as well. And then in the previous chapter, he talked about it. Love God and love people, right? If it were not important, he would not have repeated it over and over and over again. You realize some people have stopped praying in the name of Jesus privately. There's some people who have stopped praying. They'll do it corporately. They'll do it up here. They got the show, but privately they won't even use the name of Jesus. You know why? Because they're too busy doing their own thing. They know God won't answer that prayer, so why pray? Hopefully no one in here. But you can, if you are a born-again believer, you have the right. You have right standing with God to be able to use the name of Jesus, the name which is above all names, and some people don't even want to do it because they just want what their flesh wants. That's sad. If we get to that place, you have the name of Jesus. But I don't believe it'll work for me, but it'll work for so-and-so over here. That's not true. If it worked for them, it'll work for you because God is not a respecter of persons. And if you've truly given your life to Jesus, it'll work for you. God can do miracles. Some people need a miracle today. But it's almost like they're to the point to where they're ashamed to ask God for a miracle. They're ashamed to ask God for anything. And they need a miracle. You should never have to be ashamed to ask God for a miracle, to ask God for prayer, to ask people for prayer. You should never feel ashamed. That's what the church body is for. That's what the ministry is for. You're not the perfect. Some of you are broken. Some of you are busted up. Some of you are hurting. Some of you are sick. Some of you are just dealing with some mental problems. That's nothing to be ashamed of. Why? Because God wants to heal it all. Some of you are lonely. Some of you don't know what God has called you to do in this next chapter in your life. The Holy Spirit is your helper, your advocate. He can tell you. So I would just invite you to open up your heart to God. Open up your heart to what Jesus has already done for you. He loves you so much, and he cares about you. Can you think if you two get together? That was spoken over us 25 years ago on my birthday. Mary Fran. I remember I was sitting in the back. I'm not getting up there to the top, not here. I'm sitting in the back where they can't see me. And she came right by me and spoke over us. When the two of us get together, we make a powerful team. And the devil's been fighting that ever since. And I think sometimes my wife helps him. No, I'm sorry. Bad joke. No, I'm sorry. But you make a powerful couple. Because there's nothing that God won't do that's already according to his word for you. And it's amazing how many times people are struggling. It's because they didn't set his word first and foremost. Doesn't mean you're not going to have any problems. You're going to have arguments. You're going to have heated disagreements or what have you. It's going to happen. But hang in there. Tough it out. It'll help mature you. So ask yourself this question. When we got to get back to love, but do you love Jesus? And if you do, obey his commandments. Love God, love people. Love them even if they don't love you. I'm going to do right by them. Why? Because it's what the word says. I don't want my harvest to be delayed any longer. Your deeds, not the words you say, are the proof that you love Jesus, because love is an action word. If you're going to keep his commandments, then you intentionally walk in them daily with people. And it says in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. He takes no breaks from you. He's there to lead you and guide you into all truth. He's your helper. The Amplified says he's your counselor, your comforter, your counselor, your helper, your intercessor, your advocate, your strengthener, and standby. Your standby. He's ready or available for immediate action or use. Holy Spirit, use him because he is what America needs in this hour. He is what this world needs in this hour. Something greater than America. This whole entire world. The Holy Spirit is needed in these last days. God says, I will pour out my spirit on some flesh. All. There's been prophesied there will be more miracles going on today than ever before and greater, what have you. Well, that can happen through me. Yes, it can. You ever talk yourself out of a promotion? You ever talk yourself out of the goodness of God? You ever talk yourself out of people loving you? Just receive it. Bless God today, Lord. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that today that you are going to do something extraordinary in my life, Lord. I'm going to pray for the people that you lead me to pray for. I'm going to speak life into the people that you want me to speak life into, Lord. I'm going to heal who you want me to heal, Lord. I'm going to raise the dead and who you want me to raise, Lord.
Well, I'm just trying to clear out all my email.
He can do more than what we can ask or imagine. He goes beyond those things because he's so much powerful. He is so much better. He is so much more loving than we can ever imagine. Time to think big. What I mean, think big, think the way that God thinks, if you can. Because there's nothing small about him. Everything he's done, it was a big ordeal. There was nothing small about it. That's what drove people nuts. Time to stop. You know, I've heard, I don't know if I said this privately or up here. I can't remember. But we don't need to be the best kept secret in Hayes anymore. Forget that junk. That's not, I'm not fixing my mouth to say that anymore. Why? Because we've already been established for 50 years. Good gracious, how much of a secret do we need to be? We preach the word of God. We do pray in tongues. If that throws you off, God bless you. Go down the street. But we're going to speak in tongues. We're going to pray in tongues. We're going to love on you. We're going to help you out. We're believing God for what we're expecting every single day of our lives, not just on a Sunday morning. You are free to dance. You are free to live. You are free to walk in His grace and His mercy every single day. I no longer want to be the best kept secret, because Jesus is not something we hide. A message is not something, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not something we hide. It's something we share. And y'all know, if you have some good news, you're going to share it with some people that you trust. You shout it out to the rooftops. How many KU fans? I guarantee you, KU win the national championship, you're going to be posting something. Might be talking a little smack if you're my wife. No, she's pretty good at it. You're going to shout it to the rooftops. Why? Because good news is hard to contain inwardly. I mean, you got to tell somebody. But it seems like bad news will spread quicker than good news. The good news of Jesus Christ, what He's done for you, who He is and what He's done for you. Share it. I love seeing testimonies on people's thing. Well, this is what God has done for me. And sometimes, again, when you get people in competition, they like to try to watch you. They'll monitor you and they'll look at you and then they'll try to talk mess on you. Share it anyway. I'm going to share it just in spite. No, why? Because you shouldn't be quiet about who your God is. Y'all church speaking, y'all preach that word of faith. You can't get saved without the word of faith. What you talking about? You do that, name it, claim it, blab and grab it. No, the Bible says believe in you. Say it, believe it, that you shall receive it and you will have it. That's clearly what the scripture says. Now, if you want to alter it and twist it and make it out to be something that is not, then that's on you. But I'm going to do what Jesus said to do. I'm going to say what Jesus said to say in His word, according to Mark 11, 23, 24, 5. The Bible also says in Romans 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the what? Word of faith, which we preach. But I don't believe in that stuff. People may get all caught up on the word of faith, but what they're really upset is how people may have abused it. I understand that. But see, if you weren't there to see it, if you weren't there to hear it with your own ears, why are you upset? I remember a story about Brother Copeland that he tells the first time he gave. He was sitting in the pew or what have you, and you know, they had an offering. He didn't have any money to give, nothing to give, so he had a pencil, put an envelope, sealed it. And he was trusting and believing in God. And then towards at the end of the service, somebody gave him a $20 bill. And he went and took that money and gave it to the ushers or what have you, and took back his pencil. He's been a giver ever since. And seeing what God is doing in somebody else's life, and this person over here ain't got the magnitude of what they got going on here. You don't know how much somebody needs. God may be saving it up for something else greater than what this person can ever produce, than even thought of. That's why it's important to stay in our lane. He has helped countless of people in ministry. Countless of people within the ministry. They don't credit Him for that. That's the thing. They don't know. They weren't there. They're just hearing the story. And then now they're trying to produce some stuff. I like the word of faith, because the word of faith will put some hair on your chest. It'll teach you to grow up quick. Why? Because you're responsible for what comes out here. And a lot of people don't want to be responsible for what comes out their mouth. They just want to say whatever it is they want to say and then lie their way out of every situation. No, you have to take responsibility for what you say. That's important. It's not the only doctrine in the Bible. There's a lot of doctrines in the Bible. Good doctrines, good messages. But it is a doctrine. And if it's preached right, it can produce a lot of great results. Backed faith expressing itself through love. Verse 17, it says, the Spirit of truth, of whom the world cannot reach, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He will never deceive you. He will always lead believers into all truth in every situation. The enemy will lead you astray. The enemy will misinform you. The enemy will miscommunicate things. The Holy Spirit don't do that. It's the Spirit of truth. Sometimes we may miscommunicate things. We may misinform things. We may have heard a story right here and we believed it. And we had the we had the heart to believe them and we were trusting in them or what have you. And we were trusting in that story. And then it seems like they altered that story, what have you. Okay, you made a mistake. But the Holy Spirit never does. The Holy Spirit never does. The Spirit of truth, of whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 18, it says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. See, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. That's why you yield to him. He will show you things to come. He's your counselor. See, we might play tricks on everybody else and on each other, you know, just kind of being a little mischievous or what have you. We'll tell somebody, go ahead and buy that. When we really don't want it, we know it's going to be a jacked up stuff. Some jacked up product or what have you, or food. Or, oh yeah, that sandwich is really good. You just mess with them and it's worse than sardines or something. I like sardines, but I'm just saying. But the Holy Spirit will lead you and will guide you. He will show you things to come. Every business deal that you make, he'll let you know, hey, that wasn't a good deal. You probably need to go back and handle it correctly. Yield yourself. Tear down the walls. He wants to help you. He's the helper. He wants to help you. Tear down the walls. I guarantee you. Whatever area in your life that you're holding up a wall because you don't want to trust him, I said, just little by little, just begin, Lord, I trust you. Every day. It doesn't have to be all out one day. It can be. Lord, I just trust you. I'm going to do what your word says here. I like how Phil Robertson has said, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, to love your neighbor. If your enemy is hungry, give him a fish or what have you. And he goes and he found some guys that was stealing some. He was a commercial fisherman. And so some guys were stealing his fish. He goes, Lord, all right. I'm going to do what your word says to do. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to give him this fish right here. But I'm going to take my gun just in case. Something else pops off. But he just let them have all the fish in that net. Whatever they brought up and caught, they let them have it. He said they never came back. It's amazing what love will do. See, we don't ever think that we like to run them off or what have you. We don't ever think that the love that you could show someone else would just, okay, we're not going to do that anymore. That's the love of Christ. You may not do that perfectly. Some people may not deserve the love that you want to give them, but you know what? Neither do we. And Jesus yet, while we are still sinners, he died for us. Pastor Tim, you don't know what they've done. Doesn't matter. Your responsibility as a believer, love. And if they are a believer, they need to be loving too. But if they're not, they need to repent. Ask for forgiveness. If you've wronged someone else, you ask for forgiveness, for their forgiveness. That's part of maturing. Not sending other people to try to ask for you or try to get you. Manipulation is this: making someone apologize for the abuse you put them through, or blaming somebody for their reaction to your toxic behavior. The love walk goes both ways. Father, we thank you. Jesus loves you so much. And he knows everything that went down. But if you trust him, he could take it from here to here if you trust him. But that's your call. Thank you, Jesus. He says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. We have a Father that doesn't leave us fatherless, doesn't leave us hopeless, doesn't guilt trip us, doesn't abuse us. So you're never alone when you're walking with him. You're never alone. Sometimes it may feel like that, but you're never alone. Even if the whole world disagrees with you, everyone in your family, all your friends disagree with you, and you're doing what God has told you to do, you're never alone. He will comfort you. And they're going to be trying to understand how you go from here to here. It's because you were walking with him. All the stuff and the junk that the enemy tried to put you through and try to drag you down, God was raising you up. See, you all are seeds. You know that? You're planted. Seeds can't grow without dirt. Sometimes you need a little dirt in your life. Who's perfect? You need a little dirt to grow. And then you die when you give your life to Christ. You die to self. There's a cost for following him, right? Every single day there's a cost, but then you begin to water that seed and you begin to be watered through his word, and God is the one who will give the increase. So some of you are still growing. You've been planted. You have some dirt thrown on you and you've died and you're still blooming. And every season, you're still blooming. You're just a seed. Who cares what kind of dirt people throw on you? You realize that dirt has minerals in it too? It will grow anything that is planted. It'll try to. Sometimes you need a little dirt in your life. You can't all be perfect like me. What's your name, young man? Huh? Stephen. Have you given your life to Jesus?
Trying to.
Trying to? Well, let's do. Are you ready to accept him as your Lord and Savior? Just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, today, I give my life to you. I lay down my life. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And 3 days later, he was raised to life. And I believe I am saved in Jesus' name. By faith. Amen, 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 amen. Do you truly believe that in your heart? In your heart. Have you given your life to Jesus? Okay. Do you want to? Okay. I'm not going to do it this time. Miss Belinda Brown, can you help her? We just wanted to separate you so I can just preach right at you. No, it's fine. No. But you know, that's, what's today? July 13th. Don't ever forget this day. Because right now your name is written. I said your name has already been written because God knew that you were going to be here. Amen. Now you have a relationship. Continue to come back. Continue to read his word every day. Because that's your instruction manual for life. It's your guidance. And if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we can pray for you, or you can just ask the Holy Spirit, fill me, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And he will fill you. Just continue to come back. God will bless you. You don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people are. And I believe that some people can make it look weird. But the Holy Spirit is not weird. He's just like Jesus. He's Jesus. The Holy Spirit's name is Jesus, for that matter. That's why we baptize in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Tracy, God's heard your prayers. Wherever two or more agree concerning anything, it shall be done. I'm in agreement with you. And I know you have a mother that's in agreement with you. But how you're going to overcome it is through love. Love will tear down the walls. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for your precious Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you that you are continually working in their lives every day, Lord. We thank you for the lives that were given today, how they yielded themselves to you and what you have done for them through your cross, through the cross, through your death, and through your resurrection, Lord. We just thank you for making your home with them. Protecting them. And as they grow closer to you, Lord, you are continually showing your ways to them, Lord. Father God, we just pray for every marriage in here, in this place. The Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit that unites people.
people together. You unify people. We just pray for every marriage in here. Some are holding on by a thin thread, Lord. Boy, do you just pray that we pray that you will restore them fully and better than it ever was as they yield themselves to you, not to the ideas of what everyone else says, but to you and your word. Because you are their counselor. For wherever they agree upon, according to your word, Father God, this year they will receive it in the name of Jesus. Some are believing for finances. Some are believing for crops. Some are believing for healing and restoration within their families. Some are believing whatever they're believing according to your word, Lord. We believe they receive it today in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise. Amen. And amen. Don't allow the enemy to put doubt, unbelief in your heart. Get rid of it. Doubt be gone. Let's stand. What's wrong with you, ma'am? What's that? Oh, you already had it? Okay. Well, we believe for quick restoration. No infections whatsoever in the name of Jesus. Anyone dealing with migraines? Back problems? Mr. Brown? Be healed in the name of Jesus. Speak to that back right now. To straighten up, loosen up in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your healing power. We thank you. Eye problems, cataracts, eye problems. We thank you for clear vision. Clear vision, Lord. Shut up. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for favor in every area of our lives. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And all who agree to that say, amen. Amen and amen. Give somebody a handshake, Pentecostal handshake. Bless them. Invite them out to dinner. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.